children to their children's church. And the scripture reading is from Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's see if I'm on. There we go. I'm on. I'm Dr. Sleeth, and my doctorate is not in theology. I have a doctorate in medicine, and I'm trained in emergency medicine. And the number one question I get asked, and I used to run an emergency department, is, do you miss medicine? And I miss medicine so much that I make this offer. If anybody this morning would drop dead, it would make me so happy. I'll try to resuscitate you. I'm a doctor. Do you trust me? You should. Do something for me. Everybody is spread out all over the place. Why doesn't everybody come in and sit down here? I'm serious. Get up and come sit down here. Everybody's going to have a lot more fun, and we're going to do something where you have to talk to each other, so you have to be close to each other. So just on this side, in the sunshine here, we'll sit. Come on down. And there's a free trip to Hawaii, and one person gets free gasoline forever. You brought those tickets for it, didn't you? Yes, okay. Absolutely. Come on down. This is God's house. He wants us to get in close. Come on down. You folks, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Come on down here. You ladies, come on over. There we go. Isn't that nice? Yeah. Well, there's some outliers in the room still. Okay. Well, I came to talk to you about the Sabbath. And I got billed as an expert in it. I guess I kind of am an expert in it. My family and I started keeping the Sabbath when we all became Christians, and we all became Christians about 15 years ago. And my children, my oldest son is 31 years old, and I want to tell you a little story about when he was a little tyke that illustrates something about Sabbath. When he was just a little guy, I was working at Central Vermont Hospital, which, has anybody here ever been to Vermont? Raise your hand. Has anybody here been to Vermont in the wintertime? No. All right. So I worked at Central Vermont Hospital, and we lived in Montpelier, and we lived exactly a mile from the capital. Montpelier is the smallest state capital in the U.S., and a mile from the Capitol puts you on a dirt road in the mountains. That's how small it is. And so we lived exactly a mile from the Capitol, and we were our house was on the side of a mountain, and you'd walk in one floor, and you could walk out two stories below downstairs. I mean, it was that kind of a slope. And so it was February when this happened. And it had been snowing and snowing, and my children were little then. And my wife said, why don't you go get some more firewood for the stove? And the big pile of the firewood was out the basement door. And so then my wife said, why don't you take Clark with you? Well, if you've never gotten a little kid in a snowsuit it's easier to suit somebody up to go into space, practically, than get a little kid in a snowsuit. And but I got him in the snowsuit, and where the firewood set was just kind of like right here, and kind of right where that wall is, the ground, it was level till there, and then the ground started sloping and got more and more slope to it until it went into a cliff, and there was about a 30-foot fall. And my children knew never to go past that area right there. And my son was with me, and he was playing where he should. My children were good kids. They didn't misbehave. And I'm bringing in the firewood, and I hear my son scream, "Dad," in horror. And what had happened was he was where he was supposed to be, but the ground, the snow had melted a little the day before and then frozen into a sheet of ice. And you know, it doesn't take much grade in a sheet of ice. You can't stand up. And so what was happening was he was, every time he tried to stand up and scramble and everything, he'd start sliding down the hill. And then he'd fall down, stick for a second. But every reflex in his body told him to scramble up that hill as hard as he could. And I've got firewood here, and he's sliding down the hill, and I'm not going to make it to him unless he stops. Because when he stopped, there's enough area and traction. And so I screamed to him, "Stop." Now, he was only 3 years old, but he trusted me. I was his dad. And he was able to override every natural instinct that he had to try to scramble and save himself and instead just stop and let his father come and save him. And I ran over and I still remember grabbing him by the little blue hood on his jacket, dragging him back up the hill. He stopped because I was his father and I had never lied to him. And I kept my word to him and everything, and he knew that was the situation. I'm going to talk about stopping one day out a week, and the whole world tells you to scramble 7 days a week. That's what the world tells you to do, scramble 7 days a week. But the Lord tells you to stop one day a week and trust him. And when my family and I became Christians. My wife was raised in a conservative Jewish home. We got married. I can't tell you how much her parents didn't want that to happen. Literally, my wife said not to mention in public how much they didn't. No specifics. We got married, and we just put religion on the side. What a stupid move. What a mistake. We put religion on the side, and everything went along fine. And then we got to a period in life where everything started to go wrong. My wife had one brother, and he drowned in front of my children. I had a patient that stalked me, scary patient, for a long period of time, and eventually did something so scary the police went and checked. Found his mother in the closet where he taped her up and beaten her to death. And in the kind of the last bad, and our marriage was falling apart, and the last bad thing I remember happening was I got home on a Tuesday morning, and I had been working the night shift, and I'm kind of dozing on the couch. And my wife comes in and says, "Something horrible is happening in Manhattan." And that was September 11th. And we turned on the television. Everybody here remembers where you were when that happened. And we turned on the television, and then we got a phone call from my next-door neighbor. She had a son, my son's age. They'd grown up together. And she said, "I need help getting Jamie from school. His dad was in the first plane." And later that about an hour later, we got a call from another friend. Her husband and her brother were in the Pentagon, and her brother was killed. She had just had a baby a few days before. Her husband was not allowed to come home. They put him on a helicopter and put him on a sub to command it. So I actually went to be with her for a little while. And what I woke up to was the fact that there was evil in the world, and I had no way of coping with that. We didn't believe in God. And then a wonderful thing happened. I was in the hospital and one morning, and there were no patients. It was a Sunday morning, and there were no patients, and I went looking for something to read. I love to read, and I found a book on a coffee table in a waiting room, and it said Holy Bible on it. And I thought, I've never read this book, and there's no way I'm going to be able to finish it by the time the first patient comes in. And so I stole it. And then where do you start reading in the Bible? It's a really big book. And fortunately, my name is Matthew, and that's where I put in, right there. If my parents had named me Numbers, we wouldn't be here today, okay? So, and I met the Lord, and it began to change my life and everything. And then I discovered this other thing in the Bible called the Ten Commandments, pretty much every one of which I had broken. But the Sabbath commandment was there, and I began to keep a Sabbath, and my wife, and then one after another, each of my two children and my wife came to the Lord. We met the Lord. And we began keeping a Sabbath, and it was just integral to my children's understanding of God. And we kept it. When I was a child, I kept the Sabbath, but it was a societal default. You didn't even have to believe in anything. Everything just stopped on Sunday. Where I grew up, there was something called blue laws. You couldn't buy, the grocery store closed, the gas station closed, the pharmacy closed, it all closed. There was only one business in town that would take your money on a Sunday, and it had a steeple on the top of it. Now, I want you to do, and this, the reason I had you come in close is because I want you to buddy up for a couple of moments and share memories of Sunday when you're growing up. If you were Seventh-day Adventist, then it would be Saturday. If you were Jewish, it would be Saturday. But you get the point. I want you to share the memories of what you did on that day. What made it different? You know, I can ask you, what was Sunday like when you were a child? And you can give me specific memories. I can ask you Tuesday, and who knows, you know. So share with each other what you did on that day. Take a couple of minutes, maybe what you didn't do on that day, and we're going to discuss those memories. So buddy up and share, okay? Okay, I'm going to interrupt you, and I apologize. I once lost control of a church doing this and had to resort to yell and let us pray. The sound system didn't work too well. Let me talk about the Ten Commandments for a moment. First of all, if you were raised as Lutheran or Catholic or Primitive Baptist, you might number the commandments differently. I'm going with the way the Jews numbered them because they owned the real estate first, okay? So the commandments are in two distinct groups, really. They're done in two distinct groups. Commandments 1 through 3, I'm the Lord your God. You're not to have any other gods above me. I made you. You can't make me, so don't try making an idol. And to call on the Lord, to know the name of the Lord, it's a precious thing. So to use it willy-nilly in vain is a sin. Those three commandments are about God, are they not? They're how we understand the Lord. Commandments 5 through 10, honor your parents, don't kill, lie, cheat, steal, run around, or put stuff on your credit card to keep up with your neighbors. I'm paraphrasing. Yes. Thou shall not put stuff on your credit cards, I think. Those are about how people should behave, right? That isn't our understanding of God. That's God telling us how to order society. The Sabbath commandment, which we read, is the longest commandment in the Bible. And it sits right in between those two groups. To which group do you think it belongs? God? Humanity? Heaven? Earth? Eternal? Temporal? Which group are you going to put it in? Humanity? Any other votes? Well, it's interesting. You're right, but I also put it in the God part. It's the only commandment that God specifically observes himself. God rested, therefore the day was holy. And so I think of it really as a bridge between heaven and earth. I don't, by the way, believe that you need to keep the Sabbath in order to get into heaven. In my theology, Sabbath keeping is not a condition of getting into heaven. It's just the condition that heaven is in if you get there. And so I view it as a bridge between heaven and earth. And it's been a bridge that I've walked out on once a week since I've been a Christian, and my wife and my children have. And we've found the Lord there. The memories that you had, what were some of the memories of Sabbath, of Sunday, Lord's Day, growing up? What did you remember?
Went to church in the morning, and in the afternoon, in the springtime, we used to walk up a couple of valleys that we had and observe many, many wildflowers of different kinds.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, went to church. How many of you went to church Sunday growing up? That's a very common memory. And there's a lot that we do. When we say went to church, it's kind of like saying, I went on vacation. Well, what did you do on vacation? You know, there's lots that you do. We may pray every day. We may sing every day. And we may read the Bible every day. But this is the day that we do it together.
So, I went to church in the courthouse.
You went to church in the courthouse.
Yeah.
There you go. Went to church in the courthouse. By the way, the Ten Commandments are carved in two places in the Supreme Court building, if you've been there. They're the foundation of society, really. So going to church is one of those things. How many of you remember big meals with family and even extended family? Yeah. It's a fond memory. How many of you took a nap on Sunday growing up. All right. How many of you were made to take a nap growing up? All right. How many of you remember that that's the day both of your parents were home? Yeah. And maybe your parents didn't shop on that day, that sort of thing. The memories that you have are not random memories. I wrote this book 24/6, and I wrote it 6 or 7 years ago. It's in its 15th, 16th printing, something like that. It's done fabulous over time. But what I'm about ready to tell you isn't in the book. You learn things when you teach them and over time. The connection between the memories that you have of Sunday and the Ten Commandments are this. I went to church. I'm the Lord your God. You'll have no other gods above me. You're going to forget about the idols. The opposite of taking the Lord's name in vain is what? Prayer and worship and praise. Yes. Remember, if a commandment says thou shalt not or something like that, that tells you where you step out of bounds. But the intent isn't how far away you can get from God, but how close. That's the intent of the commandments. And so in going to church, you're really doing all of the first three of the commandments, that God part. Honor your father and your mother. Those meals that you had, you know, there's a generation growing up that I'm not sure they've ever sat at home and had a meal. There is nothing, as a father and a grandfather, there is nothing that honors me more than having my whole family around the table. And it's particularly poignant for me. My children are missionaries in Africa. And so I don't get to see my grandchildren and my children as much as I would like to. What an honor it is when we all can eat together. That's what I look forward to next. Well, how about thou shalt not kill, Dr. Sleeth? How does keeping the Sabbath make that one happen? Physically impossible to do if you're taking a nap. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How does keeping the Sabbath help with that? Well, for those of you who were made to take a nap, some of you may remember that you got up early from a nap once and you went to your parents' door and it was locked. They were not, your parents were not committing adultery. And I believe, actually, that going from having a whole society that stops one day a week and puts aside the concerns of commerce and puts at the top family and God, well, something's changed. I actually believe that, although I joke about it, that this was part of what held families together. I have a friend named A.J. Swoboda who's written a book about the Sabbath, and I wrote the foreword to it. He's a pastor out on the West Coast. He will not marry people unless they have a Sabbath plan, unless they keep the Sabbath, because he knows that their odds of their marriage working are so much higher if they put God first one day out of the week. So the keeping of the Sabbath commandment helps all the others. Doesn't guarantee it, but it begins to make it a little easier for all the other commandments to fall into place. Now, going to church, praising the Lord, singing, praying, reading the Bible, having meals with family, naps, not committing adultery, those are all pretty good things, aren't they? Why did we give it up as a society? Who has a vested interest in doing away with all of those things? Who? The devil, Satan, let's name it here. Satan hates the Sabbath. There's only one person in the Bible who introduces themselves to God as busy. It's in the book of Job. Satan shows up and he's late for the meeting. Where have you been? God says. I've been going to and fro, up and down. I'm busy. That's what Satan is saying there. I'm a busy, busy person. There is no saying, work like the Messiah. Christ wants to conform you to his image. He's a man of peace. He does some amazing things on the Sabbath, and Satan wants to conform you to his image. If we look at Christ on the Sabbath, you'll find a very interesting couple of very interesting things. Number one is that Christ does the majority of his miracles on the Sabbath. And the interesting thing is that all of those miracles have something in common. He doesn't walk on water that day. He's not feeding 5,000. On the Sabbath, he heals. I believe that the Sabbath is meant to heal us. Do you know that people who keep a Sabbath for their whole life live about 10 years longer than people who don't? That's a huge chunk of time. That's a huge chunk of time. They live 10 years longer. It's been, by the way, there's these books in the back, and you can take one or you can leave a donation. It doesn't matter a whit to me what you do. But I'd rather you have it than not. And there's also a couple of DVDs that go along with this. And on DVDs, they have bonus things, they call, at the end. And in the bonus section, I sat down with David Green and talked to him about Sabbath. Does anybody know what David Green owns? Hobby Lobby. Yeah. Now, Hobby Lobby was open 7 days a week for 20 years. People don't know that. It was open for 20 years, 7 days a week, and then he closed. And that's when the magic started happening. I've been to his headquarters. They need dump trucks to bring the money in. They're only open 66 hours a week, and they make more than per square foot than any other box store. Why don't other stores try it? Because you got to go against all the natural instincts and reflexes. It's just like with my son. Our instinct is to try to save ourselves and get up and run. And God asks us to stop. So my all I can do, by the way, with all of society moving in one direction, one guy is going to come in and talk about Sabbath for, you know, a couple of minutes. That's not enough. But if a few of you commit to studying the Sabbath and keeping it and having joy in it, well, you'll have something wonderful nobody can take away from you. I'm going to give you a moment here since we're weird and we're all in the same place. You can ask me any question you want about Sabbath. You can ask me where babies come from. I'm a doctor, I can tell you. But don't ask me any mean question. But does anybody have any questions about the Sabbath or keeping it in this day and age?
Even in the Bible, they quibbled, or there's a mention about quibbling over the Sabbath, or quibbling on the Sabbath, or about the Sabbath. I've got very good friends that are Seventh-day Adventists, and of course, it's Saturday. Do you see any problem between Saturday and Sunday?
If you keep it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I think that the ideal is Sunday for us Protestants, because God wants to build a community. He wants this place to be full and joyous. So if we're all each like sheep going all our own way, that's no good. So the ideal, I think, is Sunday for us. And if you're a police officer, nurse, military, you might, pastor, you might have to switch that day. Maybe it has to be Monday or Friday or something. The ideal is Sunday. But I don't think it's the day, it's the intent in our hearts. By the way, every hospital CEO of Seventh-day Adventists and all of their executive doctors I took on retreat, by the time you got to have me coming in teaching the Seventh-day Adventists about Sabbath, they got problems too keeping it. But I think it's the intent. But the ideal for us is Sunday. You had a question.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to ask you to mention what you did downstairs about that.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't another job we're doing a ticket. Yeah. This is a thing of joy. For me, what I've really found on the day is joy. My children keep it, and as I mentioned downstairs, I bragged about my kids. My kids have done beautifully. My son went to University of Kentucky to med school, youngest graduate they've ever had. He's a missionary doctor, keeps the Sabbath. He keeps the Sabbath and children die. He's the only pediatrician. He manages more patients than UK does by himself in Pete's. And I told him when he went over there, you're going to have to keep the Sabbath and children are going to die. You can decide sometimes to skip or go in or whatever, but if you don't, they're going to end up with no doctor after a very short period of time. So any other questions? Well, it's just been a joy to be able to be with you. By the way, you know, you might consider roping off that side of the sanctuary, because if you you could say we're sitting on the right hand side of hand of God. See, because God faces this way or whatever. I don't know. Let me pray for you, and then what do we do after that? Is there a benediction or? A closing hymn. So let me pray for you. Let me encourage you to get one of these books, whether you pay for it or not. I'm real easy to get a hold of if you have questions. It's such a delight for me not to have to get on a plane to preach on Sunday. I live in Lexington, but most of the time I'm flying to wherever I'm preaching, so it's a real, real privilege to be here at home. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, We praise you, we thank you for all the beautiful things that you've done in our lives and are going to do. We are thankful that we live in a country where we can still gather one day a week and put you first in our hearts and our minds. And I pray a special blessing on this church that your Holy Spirit would move here and that your peace that passes all understanding would be something that this church would wrestle with and study and have come upon them. And I ask all of these